Okay, as you can see, everybody can see, is today I am traveling, and I'm in a place called Columbus, Ohio, where we're going to be observing and commemorating a groundbreaking ceremony for a very big temple tomorrow. So this is interesting. Okay, so today is a special day in the Vaishnav calendar. It is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Srivas Thakur, and we're going to speak a little bit about Srivas Thakur. And it's also the day, about 44 years ago, that I took the renounced order of life. So two things happened today. Well, not exactly today, but commemoration of two things is today's date. Okay. Because actually, I didn't take sannyas today. I took it 44 years ago, and Srivas Thakur passed away a number of years ago. So before we begin, we're going to chant the prayers to the departed Vaishnavas, Saparshada Gora Vilaha Viraha Vilapa, written by Narottama Das Thakur. Okay, so let's chant them now. Put my glasses. Ye anilo prema dana karuna prachur. Ye anilo prema dana karuna prachur. Heno prabhu kota gelakacharya Thakur. Heno Prabhu Kota Gela Acharya Thakur. Kahamora Swarupa Rupa Kahasanata Kahamora Swarupa Rupa Kahasanatam Kahadasa Raghunatha Patita Pavan Kahadasa Raghunatha Atita Pavan Kahamora Bata Juga Kah Kaviraj Kahamora Bata Juga Kah Kaviraj Ekakale Kota Gela Goranatara Ekakale Kota Gela Goranatara Vachane Kutibo Mata Anale Pashibo Pashane Kutibo Mata Anale Pashibo Goranga Goranga Gune Ranide Kota Gile Pabo Goranga go Neranidi Kota Gele Prabhu Sesaba Sangira Sange Ye Koilo Milas Sesaba Sangira Sange Ye koilo bilas. Se sangha napaya kante narotamutas. Se sangha napaya kante narotamutas. Jayandilo Prematanda Corona Prachur Yeandilo Prematanda Corona Prachur Jaya Jaya Thakur Jaya Jaya Thakur Jayacharya Thakur, Jayacharya Thakur, Jaya Srivas Pandit, Jaya Srivas Pandit, Jaya Srivas Pandit, Jaya Srivas Pandit, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nichai Gaur, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Jai Om Vishnupad. Paramahansa Paravidakacharya also tell us that the Shri Srimad is Divine Grace Abhaya Chalanana Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Adanta Koti Vaishnav Vrindi Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Param Se Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindika Jaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopagopanath Sayam Kund Radhakunda Giri Gover Dan Gijai Vrindavaram Gijai Maturidam Gijai Jagannatha Swami Gijai Yamunamai Gijai Srimati Lalasi Devi Gijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindika Jaya Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bhakta. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivananda Swamini Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nivrishesha Srinivadi Vashtachadeja Tarni. So, let me read the translation to this prayer to the departed Vaishnavas. He who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy wears such a personality as Advaitacharya. Whoops. Gone. Where my Swarup Damodar Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna's Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities, being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes? Narottama Das simply weeps. So, Omagana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, as I mentioned, today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Srivas Thakur. Hold on a second. And we are going to, I'm going to consult my notes, of course, and we are going to speak about Srivast Thakur today. And also, it is, I don't know if you say it, commemoration, but it's the anniversary of when I took sannyas approximately 44 years ago, which was in 1978. And I'll talk a little bit about that after I talk about Srivast Thakur. Let me just set this up here. Give me a second. All right. Chat so I can see if anyone has any questions during the whole thing. Okay, so as you are all probably aware of, hopefully you're aware of, we worship the Panchatattva. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidvaita Gadadha Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda. So the members of the Panchatattva, of course, begin with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And Krishna takes on the mood of Srimati Radharani. Why? Because he wants to do what? He wants to understand Radharani's love for him. He wants to see himself from her perspective. And he wants to have the happiness that only his devotees enjoy. So the happiness that devotees enjoy sometimes is described as better than the happiness that the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoys. So that's the happiness of bhakti. So Lord Chaitanya wants to experience that. And in experiencing that, he becomes very merciful, because Radharani is the merciful counterpart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the feminine counterpart. And she is soft-hearted. Whereas Krishna is a little heavy. You know, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, 1866, Sarvadharma Purichajama, Mikam Shavanam Braja, Ham Twam Sabha Pope, Vyumokshi, Shavimasajai. You gotta surrender. Ooh, that's pretty heavy stuff. Whereas Lord Chaitanya teaches, Dinahina Yata Chilo Hari Nam Udurila. It doesn't matter, one's fallen, one's elevated. If you take up the Hari Nam, then that will purify you. So, very, very important. So, anyway, so that's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's God. And also Lord Nityananda is God. Advaita Chuta Nadir Ananta Rupamajam Parama Purusham Labhyamnam Cha. Vedeshu Durlava Madurlava Madma Bhakto Govindamani Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Lord Nityananda is God too, and in God in a different mood. And in that mood, he is the original guru. Lord Nityananda is Balaram, Balaram Hoile Dattai. So you have Lord Nityananda, and then you have Advaitacharya. Mahavishnu, and also Sadashiva. Sadashiva, of course, is the Shiva in the spiritual world, who is Tattva, and of course, Advaitacharya is Vishnu Tattva. He's not Shiva Tattva, even though we say that he is a man. His pastimes. And Gadadhar, as we've described previously, has a submissive mood in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas Radharani has a bomb or actually unsubmissive mood to give pleasure to the Lord. And that's because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually taking the role of Radharani. So, very little esoteric stuff for you. Anyway, so then finally we get to Srivast Thakur. Srivast Thakur is Srivast Thakur. He's married. Very, very interesting. Okay, so let's start talking about Srivast Thakur, his pastimes. He was as old as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father. So that's Jagannath Mishra. And he was friends with Jagannath Mishra. And so, in other words, before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And his wife's name was Malini, who was also a friend of Sachi Devi, who was the mother of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Malini cared for Sachi Devi just like her nurse when Sachi Devi was pregnant. So what happened is that Srivas Thakur, Advaitacharya, and the Vaishnavas, they used to associate with each other and discuss the pastimes of Krishna and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a little bit different. When he first appeared, before he took initiation, he manifested the pastimes of being an arrogant scholar. He was very, very expert in logic and in other aspects. You know, he could learn something if you heard it once. Of course, he knew everything, obviously. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he defeated everybody else with his logic, and he would sometimes approach the devotees and defeat the devotees with his logic, and the devotees would try to avoid him. Why did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do this? Why did he have those pastimes? Well, there's several different reasons. One is he was enjoying teasing the devotees. And actually, that teasing of the devotees by someone who was acting like a logician actually enhanced their devotional service, because they would take shelter of Krishna more. They would pray to Krishna more. In fact, they prayed to Krishna so much that they prayed that Nimai Pandit, who was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before he took sannyas, would become a devotee, because they said, you know, this guy becomes a devotee, he actually understands logic so well, he'll be able to defeat anyone and convert everyone to Krishna consciousness. So they would pray like that. And then, of course, Lord Chaitanya also did that, display the pastimes of simply being a logician, expert logician, to show the importance of taking initiation from a spiritual master, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, he did exhibit devotional characteristics, but not in general, before he took initiation. I mean, for example, one time he edited Ishwara Puri's book, I forget the name of the book, Krishna Lilamrita or something like that. But anyway, he edited his book, and he had the greatest respect for Ishwara Puri when Ishwara Puri visited Navadvip. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eventually took sannyas from Ishwara Puri when he went to Gaya at the time of offering oblations because of his father's passing away. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, then he manifested himself completely as, first of all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the greatest devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So before that, Srivas would often ask Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu things like, "Oh, crest jewel of arrogance." Arrogance, of course, means great pride. It's like a superlative. "Do you know the purpose of life?" And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, joking with him, he would say, "By your mercy, I can understand the purpose of life." And so, anyway, so this went on. Of course, with Mukunda, he had some interesting exchanges too. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Mukunda one time that, "I'm going to be such a great devotee that even Lord Brahma and all the demigods and Lord Shiva are going to come and worship me." And so Mukunda just like thought, this guy is really proud. But anyway, so eventually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation. And one of the first things he did after he took initiation was to sit on Srivas Thakur's altar. See, it's called a Singhasana, of course, a lion throne. And he called for Srivas Thakur, and he said, "Srivas Thakur, come here. It's I who you have been worshiping all this time." And Srivas Thakur understood this, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not only manifesting his normal form, but he was manifesting four arms. And he had Lakshmi with him. So Srivast Thakur replied to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I'm going to read this particular section. My obeisances at the lotus feet of the support of the entire universe, Vishvambara, whose bodily color is like that of a newly arrived rain cloud, and whose garments are the color of a thunderbolt. My obeisances at the lotus feet of the son of Sachi, who is bedecked with ornaments of peacock feathers and a garland of red beads, that's Gunjamala. Gunjamala is generally what we worship Govardhan with, the red and white beads. My obeisances at the lotus feet of the pupil of Gangadas, because Gangadas was his teacher, the beauty of whose lotus face conquers that of 10 million moons. My obeisances at your lotus feet. You carry a buffalo horn, stick, and flute. The four Vedas have proclaimed you to be the son of Nanda. Unto you, my dear Lord, my obeisances I offer again and again. So, of course, this quote is from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. I believe it's from the Majjhima Lila. Today, my birth, my activities, my everything has become successful. Today, my very existence has been crowned with the greatest auspiciousness. Today, the race of my forefathers has finally borne fruit, and my house, which was also their house, has become blessed. Today, the great fortune of my eyes is completely beyond calculation, because I have been able to see that person whose lotus feet are served by the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. So, and then, after that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to enact his Sankirtan pastimes at the house of Srivast Thakur. It's called Srivast Angan. And this is, of course, very close to where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Right near there is the Advaita Bhavan, where Advaitacharya lived. Advaitacharya lived primarily in Shantipur, but when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he actually moved for the period of time that Lord Chaitanya was in Navadvipa. He moved to actually Navadvipa. The same thing with Srivast. Srivast Thakur originally came from a place named Srihanta, and he moved to Navadvipa, and when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, then he moved back to Srihanta. And a little history, of course, which I forgot to give. That Narmali, of course, is Srivast. His brothers were Sri Ram, who's Parvata Muni, Sripati, and Srinidhi, who were all munis or sages. And I mentioned Srivast Thakur's wife was Malini, who was the appearance of Ambika, who was Krishna's nurse. And Srivast Thakur's niece was Narayani, which is Ambika's sister. And of course, Narayani was the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur is considered to be the incarnation of Srila Vyasadeva, who wrote the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is the biography, one of the great biographies of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Srivast Thakur commenced, and Lord Chaitanya commenced nocturnal kirtans at Srivast Thakur's house, Srivast Angan. And they would sometimes go on for 72 hours without stopping. Of course, it wasn't always nocturnal, it was diurnal, which means during the day, too. So, several things happened during these kirtans, and I'm going to tell some of the stories. One thing is, because Lord Chaitanya was going there all the time, he really gave his mercy not only to Srivast Thakur and Srivast Thakur's family, but everybody who was around, they got mercy. Even people who ostensibly would not have had or be candidates for mercy previously because they were breaking regulated principles. For example, one example I can think of that is Srivast Thakur's tailor. Tailor, of course, is someone who sells clothes. So Srivast Thakur's tailor, he served Srivast Thakur so nicely that even though he was eating meat. Then he got blessed with pure love of Godhead. Of course, I assume that he gave up eating meat after that particular point. And that is my assumption. And Narayani, the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was Shiva Thakur's niece, was 4 years old one time, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Chant Hare Krishna." And she started chanting, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." And rolling on the ground, Srivast Thakur's maidservant, who was known as Duki, I mean, she was unhappy. Imagine having a name like what's your name? Unhappiness. See, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reinitiated her, changed her name to Suki, which means, of course, happiness. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would test Srivast Thakur's devotion sometimes. Then one particular occasion, I'm going to tell two stories about the tests of Srivast Thakur's devotion, is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, having his nightly kirtans at Srivast Thakur's house, was in ecstasy. He was dancing and chanting and everything like that. And during that period of time, Srivast Thakur's son died. And so what happened is that the ladies naturally started to boo-hoo, to cry. And Srivast Thakur said, "What are you crying for?" And they said, "Your son has died." And Srivast Thakur said, "Be quiet. You better be quiet, or else I'll give you something." Of course, he was a tough cookie. "I give you something to cry about. And so, because I don't want to disturb Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasy." I don't think Srivast Thakur would have hit them. I think he would have done something like jump in the Ganges or something like that. So, I don't want to disturb Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy. So the kirtan continued. Then after the kirtan ended, Lord Chaitanya said, "Something happened here." And Srivast Thakur said, "No, nothing so significant." And Lord Chaitanya said, "What actually happened?" And Srivast Thakur said, "Well, I guess my son passed away." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Why didn't you tell me that? Why did you tell me that your son had passed away?" And Srivast Thakur said, "I didn't want to disturb your transcendental ecstasy." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rushed into the room, it was a back room, I guess, in the house, where Srivast Thakur's son was, and he put his hand on the chest of Srivast Thakur's son, and he said, "Why have you left? Why have you left Srivast Thakur?" And the son actually spoke some philosophy, many, many lives that had passed, and I had passed away during your kirtan. Wow. I mean, that is a great fortune to pass away during Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan. So, then the son passed away, of course, again came back, left his life again, left the body again. And then Lord Chaitanya said, "From now on, I make this pledge to you that myself," that's Lord Chaitanya, "and Lord Nityananda will become your sons." So you lost your one son, but now you got both of us as sons. So another time that Srivast Thakur was actually tested was that Lord Chaitanya wanted to test Srivast Thakur's love for Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Nityananda, he acted as an avaduta. Avaduta basically means the wind. So, I mean, there are stories about Lord Nityananda. Sometimes he would just throw his clothes off and start dancing in ecstasy, completely oblivious to his surroundings, completely oblivious to everybody else. I mean, that's called an avaduta. And Lord Nityananda was supposed to be a gosai. He didn't formally take the renounced order of life, but he was supposed to be, you know, renounced. And he would wear this opulent jewelry, and bangles and, you know, clothes and opulent clothes sometimes. So it's just like, wow. I mean, there's some interesting stories about that. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Srivas Thakur, why do you keep inviting this Lord Nityananda to your house? You know, nobody knows what his varna is. Nobody knows anything about him, his background. Why do you keep inviting this avaduta? And then Srivas Thakur said, I will not be dissuaded from my conviction that Lord Nityananda is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if he goes into a liquor store, or even if he marries a Muslim girl. Of course, he didn't marry a Muslim girl. He married a Vaishnavi. Actually, he married two ladies who were sisters. Anyway, so that was another test of Srivas Thakur. Many other interesting things occurred in Srivas Thakur's house, especially during the kirtan. One is the famous story I always like to tell about the mother-in-law. When they were having kirtan in Srivas Thakur's house, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, and he said, I am not experiencing the ecstasy. What's the problem? I'm not feeling any happiness or ecstasy. And I'm chanting and I'm dancing. There must be someone here who doesn't belong. And so they looked around. And behind the curtains, there was Srivas Thakur's mother-in-law who had snuck in. Now, there's nothing against mother-in-laws. This is not an anti-mother-in-law story. But she really wasn't qualified to be there. Because, basically, you have to be a pure devotee. They devotee of the Lord could hear the kirtan from outside, because the kirtan was actually so loud that you could hear probably from several miles away. Such a Jagai Madai, they used to get drunk outside the house of Srivas Thakur. And they would emulate the chanting, and this way they got purified. So they just didn't let anyone in. So they threw the mother-in-law out. Poor lady. And then, at that point, Lord Chaitanya felt ecstasy again. Another story about kicking people out, or not allowing people in who weren't pure devotees. One time, Srivas Thakur, out of sentiment, let a Brahmin in who was very austere. And he survived. This Brahmin was surviving only by drinking milk. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, still, he had that same experience that he did when Srivas Thakur's mother-in-law was there. He basically said, you know, someone's here who doesn't belong. Is there anyone here who doesn't belong? And so Srivas Thakur said, oh, there's a Brahmin. He's pure. He lives just by drinking milk. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that is not the standard of purity. That is not the quality . They got ready to throw him out. But the Brahmin got very humble, begged at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, and accepted the chastisement, because the Brahmin was actually proud that he was living just by drinking milk. So he accepted the chastisement, and then he was led into the kirtan. Another story about the exclusion of everybody else from the kirtan who wasn't a pure devotee of the Lord is that there was one, can I say devotee? Yeah, because he's a devotee. But he really wasn't an advanced devotee at that particular point. There's one personality named Gopal Chapala who wasn't allowed in. And he was so angry that he thought he would frame Srivas Thakur. What do I mean by framing? Framing means you set up a situation so it looks like someone is committing a crime or doing something improper. For example, if the police wanted to arrest someone, they would frame them by putting marijuana in their car or something in their car that was illegal. That's called framing. It's a setup. So he wanted to frame Srivas Thakur by making it seem that he was just worshipping Durga Devi secretly. So there's all these different ingredients for Durga worship that you wouldn't use for worshipping Krishna, such as vermilion and other things like that. So what he did is he put these ingredients right outside Srivas Thakur's door to make him lose his reputation amongst the devotees, because a devotee is Mame Kam Sharanam Braja. A devotee just understands you worship Krishna. You don't have to get into the demigod worship or anything like that. Of course, in Bengal, at that time, as it is now, Durga worship is quite prominent. They have this big celebration called Durga Puja, and you know, parades and everything goes on during. It's an amazing celebration in Bengal. So they're really into worship of demigods. Also in Fiji too, which I do a lot of interaction with the devotees there, people are really into worshiping all these different demigods and for different material purposes. Kamastasta Ritagana Prapajantena Devata, as Krishna says in the Gita. Those who lose their intelligence because their intelligence is stolen by kama or lust, they worship the demigods. And those who worship the demigods go to the demigods. Those who worship Krishna go to Krishna. Those who worship the ghosts and spirits go to the ghosts and spirits. You got it. That's Bhagavad Gita. So, anyway, so he framed Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur gets up the next morning, opens his door, and sees these ingredients. And instead of like defending himself, because usually we defend ourselves if we're accused of something, he says, all right, everybody knows I'm worshiping Durga. But people knew that it was a frame job. And so he called for a sweeper. The sweeper took the stuff away. And then 3 days later, that Gopal Chapala guy, he got leprosy. Because he offended Srivas Thakur. It's a very important lesson for us. When you offend a devotee, of course, the worst thing that happens is even worse than leprosy, is one loses a taste for hearing and chanting. Because when we first come to Krishna consciousness, we have such a big taste for hearing and chanting. And then after some time, if we commit offenses, then the taste becomes diminished. So, you know, we all remember when we first came, it was just like, Krishna, wow, Krishna, wow, Rama, Rama, Hari, Hari, wow, wow. And now it's, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So anyway, so he got leprosy, and he approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, asking to be forgiven, because he understood he made a mistake. And what happened is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you've offended Srivas Thakura, therefore you're going to be cursed to be bitten by these worms, because leprosy means the worms actually are in the sores, for millions of years. Oh my God. So you may say, Lord Chaitanya is the most munificent. Yet, if one offends his devotees, Lord Chaitanya actually gets angry at one. So then what happened is that eventually Gopal Chapala approached Srivas Thakur and he was cured, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forgave him for that particular incident. Whew. So one has to be very careful. Another time, a devotee offended Srivas Thakur, and it wasn't as serious an offense, but it was pretty serious. There was a scholar in the Srimad Bhagavatam named Devananda Pandit, who was daily giving Bhagavatam classes. And these classes were out in the open because that's the nature of the climate there. So Srivast Thakur happened to be walking by the class one time, and he heard the words of the Bhagavatam, and he became so ecstatic hearing the words of the Bhagavatam, because we know that's the symptom of a pure devotee, Mahaprabhu, Kirtanam Richagita Vaditramadhyan Manaso Rasena, that when a devotee hears, a real devotee hears the words, the kirtan, or the Krishna Katha, then the hair stand on end, Mahaprabhu, kirtan, they dance, Richa, Gita, they sing, Romancha, that means the hair stand on end, Tarangabhaja, Ashru Tarangabhaja, the tears come from the eyes of the tongue. So all those things, those symptoms of ecstasy appeared in Srivast Thakur and right in front of everybody else in the Bhagavatam class. And Devananda Pandit's associates, they actually kicked Srivast, I guess they physically carried him out and threw him out of the Bhagavatam class. And Devananda Pandit didn't say anything, so he actually lost his ability for some time to understand Bhagavatam, even though he was giving Bhagavatam class. So then, one time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked by Devananda Pandit's Bhagavatam class, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke very loudly. Devananda Pandit will never understand the Bhagavatam. He doesn't understand the Bhagavatam, right in the middle of class. And Devananda Pandit tolerated that. Later on, Devananda Pandit was also forgiven because he had rendered service not only to Srivast Thakur, but especially to another devotee named Vrakeshra Pandit, who was like a dancer who would dance for 72 hours at a time. And when Vrakeshra Pandit was dancing one time, then Devananda Pandit protected him. He used his cane to protect protect Vrakeshra Pandit from the crowd. So this was really good service to Vaishnava, and therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to give Devananda Pandit back his understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, let's see what other stories. Oh yeah, another story. Srivast Thakur never made any endeavor to maintain himself. He had a large family, as we described. He had this niece who was the mother of Vrindavan, later on was the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. And he had to maintain his whole family. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Srivast Thakur, and of course this is also evidence of this verse in the Gita, Ananyas Chintayodhamam Yejanak Paripasate Tesham Nityubhiyuktamam Yoga Kshem Vahamyam. For those who are completely dedicated to me, I carry what they like, I take care of them, and I preserve what they have. So, anyway, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Srivast Thakur, you have a large family. How do you maintain this family? I don't see you working. And Srivast Thakur said, I have this 1-2-3 technique. If I don't eat for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days times, then I'm going to go to the Ganges, tie a water pot, and drown. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Srivast, what are you saying? I will make sure that you are never in need. And even if Lakshmi, of course, is the goddess of fortune, even if Lakshmi has to go begging, you will have sufficient. Srivast Thakur had a very interesting relationship, as I mentioned before. I will talk about my sannyasa initiation, don't worry. Srivast Thakur had a very interesting relationship with Lord Nityananda, especially Srivast Thakur's wife had a very interesting relationship with Lord Nityananda. We mentioned that Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya said that we will be your children. So, one time with Lord Chaitanya, he was exhibiting symptoms of ecstasy and everybody was worried, and Srivast Thakur took care of him by diagnosing his what was called wind disorder as a pure love of Krishna. And then Srivast Thakur's wife would take care of Lord Nityananda just like her little baby, even though Lord Nityananda was quite bigger than her little baby. She would feed Lord Nityananda and very intimate pastimes there. So, anyway, so that's Srivas Thakur. All glories to Srivas Thakur and Narada Muni. We should remember him today. And follow in his footsteps of presenting Krishna consciousness. And as a grahasta, he showed us that kiva vipra kiva nyasi shudrakenanai ye krishna tattva veta se yuruhai. That it doesn't matter if one is married, it doesn't matter if one's a sannyasi, or one comes from this family or that family, one knows the science of Krishna. Or one's a male or female, or has a body. So we're not male or female, we have bodies like that. It doesn't really matter, because we're not the body. But if one is Krishna conscious, then anyone can become guru, teacher, first class devotee. Like we have four Kumaras, they were little kids. And they're the head of whole Sampradaya. Lakshmi is the head of the Sampradaya. Lord Shiva, he's Avaduta. And sometimes he dresses as the wind. He doesn't have any clothes. He is the head of the Sampradaya. Actually, I think Lord Brahma, who is the head of our Sampradaya, is the most conservative of all the Sampradaya Acharyas. So, with that in mind, I'm going to talk for a few minutes before we take questions about my sannyas, which we're celebrating the anniversary of today. So, 44th anniversary. So here's the basic story. I joined the Hare Krishna movement in 1971, and what convinced me to join the Krishna Conscious Movement was meeting His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, my Divine Spiritual Master. It was His presence, His empathy, His compassion, His transcendental nature, whatever, you know, I can't glorify Prabhupada enough, that actually instilled in my heart His presenting the Bhakti Lata Bij, because I had met Prabhupada years before I joined in 1971 through sound vibration, by hearing Him on the radio, by reading His books, which actually changed my whole life even before I moved in the temple. But I would have not moved in the temple had it not been for the physical meeting of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. I would have just practiced Krishna consciousness on my own outside. So, anyway, and just worked in some way to maintain myself, but practiced Krishna consciousness, because that was my nature. My nature was always to be solitary. You know, I wasn't like a socialite even before Krishna consciousness. I was actually just practicing yoga by myself in the forest. So probably got me to do something that I didn't want to do, which I ultimately did want to do, which is devote myself to the mission of His mission. So upon joining, I decided to be Prabhupada's servant eternally. And so we were very much immersed in Prabhupada consciousness from the very beginning of the movement, 1971, because the movement began actually in 66, but I joined in 71, a few years later. And so everything was focused on Prabhupada, letters from Prabhupada, directions from Prabhupada, where Prabhupada was, what Prabhupada was saying. I mean, it was just like incredible Prabhupada consciousness at that particular point. It's not that everything was perfect. Otherwise, it's not, you know, people sometimes portray those particular years as like, you know, everybody was smiling and chanting Kumbaya, but it wasn't like that. We had our fights, anyway, I don't need to get into it, because we were all kids. The only adult in the Krishna Conscious Movement was His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And he was like, you know, the ringleader of all these little kiddies, which is us. But we loved him, and we do love Prabhupada. And so then what happened is that Prabhupada, in the final years, and I had a few encounters, physical encounters with Prabhupada, you know, nice stories, which I'm not going to tell right now because I don't have a lot of time. But in the final years, Prabhupada was getting very sick. None of us thought that Prabhupada was going to leave this planet, because being young, you don't understand that people do pass away. because I hadn't really experienced anyone as passing away at that particular juncture of my life. You know, I was quite young. So at least I hadn't experienced any relatives passing away. So we just thought Prabhupada's getting sick. It's drawing the devotees closer to him. He gets up all the chant, gets us all to pray. Please, my dear Krishna, if you so desire, please cure Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada would get well again. So it happened. It was like a seesaw in the movement for a while. Then finally, in November of 1977, Srila Prabhupada actually did leave this world. And as mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the fourth canto, when a disciple leaves this world, the disciple cries. And that's what I and I think just about everybody else did. I was in Los Angeles at that time. Had I known Prabhupada was going to leave this world, I would have been with Prabhupada at that point, serving Prabhupada, you know, physically. In other words, serving his physical body, Bapu Seva. But, you know, it wasn't Krishna's desire. I was in Los Angeles. And so, when that happened, at that point I was dressed in saffron, even before Prabhupada left. So when that happened, I just did a lot of introspection. And one of the main parts of the Bhagavatam the devotee would read from, just to try to understand what to do, was the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, which describes, in a metaphorical sense, what the disciple feels and what the disciple does upon the departure of the spiritual master. And so, of course, one of the things was described is that when the spiritual master passes away, one should dedicate himself to the order or the mission of the spiritual master. Otherwise, one should be ready to leave this world with the spiritual master. So, and that was my intention. That, I mean, here's the purpose of my life. It really was a wake-up call. You know, because I was taking things for granted, as we all were when we were young. Taking everything for granted, you know, it's nice to be Krishna conscious, we're having fun, serving the movement, traveling around, preaching. I was in Los Angeles working on Prabhupada's BBT. I had actually helped produce those 17 books in 2 months that Prabhupada wanted from the Los Angeles BBT. Mission, what is the, at least the external way, I can dedicate myself and take it more seriously. And then I understood to take sannyas. So that year in Mayapur, or in the beginning of 1978 in Mayapur, my name was put on the sannyas list to take the next year. Of course, in those days, if you were 27, 28 years old, you could take sannyas in 1 year. It's just like, it's not like nowadays, they put you on the 5-year list for 5 years. So, you're going to take sannyas in 5 years from now, and you stay on the 5-year list for 5 years, and you don't move up to the 4th year for another 5 years. Anyway, I think you get understand what I'm saying. So then, what happened is in the middle of that year, which is right now, there were some problems in Latin America. I was working with Vridhananda Maharaj in Spanish BBT, and he needed some sannyasis to basically counteract some devotees who were rebelling. There are actually devotees in certain countries, which I'm not going to get into the details, who were rebelling and declaring their independence from ISKCON, and they were sannyasis. And so Vridhananda Maharaj said, we need some sannyasis to actually counteract what's happening here. So you should take sannyas. You're going to be approved anyway next year at the GBC meeting. So why don't you take sannyas early? He said, of course, at that time, there are the 11 acharyas. So he said, I'm an acharya. He didn't say that about himself. He said that about himself, sorry, not about me. He said, I'm an acharya. I can decide it. Because at that time the 11 acharyas thought that they had some special prerogatives, perhaps above those of the GBC. So then he called me to Lima, Peru, and in Lima, Peru on this particular day, 44 years ago, I took sannyasa, and then I started preaching in South America, particularly, Colombia, Venezuela, Central America, and also Mexico to a certain extent. And so we were traveling around preaching, trying to protect Prabhupada's movement from people who wanted to drag devotees away from Srila Prabhupada. And so that was my first mission. Anyway, and since that time, I've been traveling and serving Srila Prabhupada's mission, and that's what sannyas means to me. Sannyas is not someone who lights no fire and does no work, but a sannyasi is one who works for Krishna. He gives up the fruits of activity and doesn't try to enjoy, in a material sense, the activity. So that's Bhagavad Gita. So that's the sannyasa order of life. And so I've been doing that, and I'm very happy. Right now I'm going on 73 years of age, and I've been doing it for all these years, and I am extremely happy that I made that choice in life. So, on that happy note, we will... What are we going to do? We'll get, let one or two people ask questions, not a lot about it. Uh-oh. Looks like questions are coming. Hold on a second. Let me unmute you. See, Kshatriya style sannyas. Here's a question from Jai Radhika. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Understand environment and association matters. However, with regards to ecstasy, shouldn't it be independent to surrounding, but hearing and chanting a Maha Mantra? Gorkha Shodas Papaji Bhavaraj been chanting near the toilet without getting his ecstasy affected. No, but actually, we don't want to manifest symptoms of ecstasy before people who are not qualified. A toilet is not a person. A toilet is neither qualified or unqualified. Toilet is probably qualified for doing what it's doing. So he was chanting so that people wouldn't, materialistic people wouldn't bother him. That's precisely why he was chanting near the toilet. So obviously we chant even when there's materialistic people around. But those who are, let's say, on the level of bhava or prema, don't do that when I don't show their ecstasies, which Lord Chaitanya's chanting. Lord Chaitanya did chant in public around people who are not qualified. That's true. But in private, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his ecstasies, that's a different scenario. Okay, just questions quickly. Rishikesh, you have a question. Unmute yourself. I can't. You're muted.
Sorry. I was thinking, Gurudev, after this senior disciples of Prabhupada leave this moment, how do you envision how this moment will progress, Gurudev? Because no senior devotees will be present at that time. How this guruship will go?
I think that Prabhupada, first of all, there are some gurus amongst the second generation devotees right now. And like even Kadama Kanana Maharaj, he's second generation. He's not a Prabhupada disciple.
Okay.
And they're imbibing Prabhupada's spirit. If we can keep Prabhupada's spirit by keeping his books at the forefront of the movement and his example at the forefront of the movement, then at that point, then we can keep Prabhupada's spirit. Because we have so much of Prabhupada's vani left. I mean, this is completely different than the Christian church, where they basically don't know for sure what Jesus Christ said. But we know for sure what Prabhupada said, with the books, with the recordings. So there's no question about that. So we can keep Prabhupada at the center. Devotees should be able to keep Prabhupada at the center. So, yes, here's a question. from Gopal, wouldn't the display of such ecstasies fall into the category offense of the holy name of the Lord, preaching the glories of the faith? Yes, it is an offense. That if we preach, we can preach to everybody, but if we preach above people's level of ability to understand, then that's actually preaching the glories of the Lord. Take a question from Chitralekha. You can unmute yourself. Chitralekha? No. I guess she's not going to unmute herself.
Sure, Dave?
Yeah.
Your internet is a little spotty, so people may be picking up some things and not picking up others.
No, but she's frozen.
Yeah, not sure if that's on your end or her end, because you're coming...
It's her end, because I can't even hear her.
Yeah, she's frozen to everybody. So she's frozen, and I can see Rakesh, and I can see everybody else. And nobody else is frozen except for her. Yeah, I can see everybody else. I can see Sumuk, I can see Jai Radhika, I can see everybody. Okay, since... I guess something happened. She went off. All right, just one other question from Sri Radhika.
Thank you so much. What a special day. Your 44th anniversary.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you would be willing to share what does it take, the one or two very important qualities that picked... I mean, I can't even imagine. I'm not even 44, so I can't even imagine. 44 years of such dedication, and I'm sure even before that... You were probably initiated for some time before you took sannyas?
Oh, yeah. I was initiated in 1972. So I was initiated, it was 6 years before I took sannyas. So what is the question? The question is, what does it take?
What are, the most important qualities that it takes to sustain a vow like this, such a significant vow for so many years, so steadily, like you've done?
That's an interesting question. I was going to say eating a lot of prasadam, but I'm not going to say that. What does it take? I guess it takes A.K.A. Hakura Nandana being fixed on one's purpose in life. If one is actually fixed, this is my purpose, this will help me achieve my purpose, this won't, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked about the surrendering practices or principles, accepting everything favorable, rejecting everything unfavorable, which means basically purpose-focused. So I never really had to think about rejecting anything, because the purpose, if your purpose is there, then automatically you won't do the things that are counterproductive to the purpose. I just give a mundane example of my life that many years ago, I was having some health challenges because I wasn't eating. I was eating prasadam, but I was eating a lot of stuff that was pretty heavy. Anyway. And so I was thinking, how can I give this up? But actually, I didn't think, how could I give it up? I thought, what is my purpose in life? Who do I belong to? What is my body meant for? And thinking in positive rather than in negative. As you know, we teach in the Course that you can't do a don't. So rather than thinking of don't or can't, I thought positively, and then automatically everything else came into line. So if you think positively about your purpose and your it's called self-identification, like who am I? I'm serving the Prabhupada, I'm serving the Krishna. And if you have that sense of identification, then it's not a question of I got to give something up or I can't do something. It's not really like that. It's much easier. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's much easier if one is focused on one's purpose and always continually reminding oneself of one's purpose. Good question. All right, I think we should end now. Okay. Thank you all very much, and today is Shiva Thakur's disappearance day, and the day... Columbus, Ohio, where they're having a groundbreaking ceremony tomorrow. And Malati begged me to come because she wanted an ISKCON sannyasi, so I will be a figurehead sannyasi at the groundbreaking ceremony tomorrow. That's actually interesting. She wanted a figurehead sannyasi. With your birds. Okay, so on that happy note, thank you very much. We got to end now. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.